Let's continue reading verses 13 through 23 of Matthew chapter 2. Now in the second half of the chapter, we have the account of Joseph taking the Lord and Mary his mother to Egypt, and then their return to Israel after the death of Herod the Great. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Let's begin our study of this portion of Matthew chapter 2 with some background notes. We read that Joseph had four dreams from the Lord in the first two chapters of Matthew. In each dream, he was given guidance based on his circumstances at that time. In dream number 1, in chapter 1, Joseph was guided to take Mary as his wife because she was going to have a son conceived of the Holy Spirit. In dream number 2, here in verse 13 of chapter 2, Joseph was guided to take the family to Egypt to escape from Herod. In dream number 3, here in verses 19 and 20, Joseph was guided to come back to Israel from Egypt because Herod was dead. How long they were in Egypt, we don't know for sure. Estimates range from several months to several years. In dream number 4, here in verse 22, Joseph was guided to reside in Galilee and not Judea because Herod's son Archelaus was reigning over Judea. Archelaus was as cruel as his father Herod. We know that early in his reign, he murdered 3,000 Jews in the temple area. So God used dreams to specifically guide Joseph in these difficult times. And Joseph obeyed the Lord in every case. Joseph is a good role model for us in his obedience. Notice that 5 times in this chapter, a reference is made to Jesus with his mother. In every case, the Lord is mentioned first. It's not Mary with her child Jesus, but rather the child with Mary, his mother. Look at verse 11 once again. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Verse 13, "The angel said, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt.'" Verse 14, "When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." Verse 20, "The angel said, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel.'" And in verse 21, "Then Joseph arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel." It's not by chance that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to put the preeminence on Jesus and not on Mary. The wise men worshiped Jesus alone, not Jesus and Mary. Look back once again at verse 11. "And when they," the wise men, "had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." Now in this second half of Matthew chapter 2, we have 3 prophecies mentioned that were fulfilled at this time. We'll take our three doctrinal points from these three prophecies. So doctrinal point number one, prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus returned from Egypt. Prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus returned from Egypt. Verses 14 and 15. When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This prophecy comes from Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea 11:1. Now, what's interesting about this prophecy is that when you look at the context of Hosea chapter 11, it is referring to the exodus of the Jews from Egypt. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew sees this scripture as also prophetic of the return of Jesus from Egypt as a child. This is what's known as the fuller meaning of scripture. In hermeneutics, which involves the principles of interpretation of scripture, we need to allow for the fuller meaning of scripture. However, we must be extremely careful with this principle because we are not inspired writers or inspired interpreters of Old Testament prophecy as Matthew was. If we're not careful here, we could start reading our own ideas into scripture. So be careful when you practice this principle. Make sure that you are controlled by the rest of scripture. But here the inspired writer, Matthew, sees the fulfillment of Hosea 11:1 in the return of the Lord as a child from Egypt. Prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus returned from Egypt. Doctrinal point number two. Prophecy was fulfilled when Herod killed the children. Prophecy was fulfilled when Herod killed the children. Verses 17 and 18. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." This prophecy is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. In the context there, the weeping and mourning was because of the children who died when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem in Jeremiah's time. Rachel, considered here the nation of Israel, was buried in Ramah, just north of Bethlehem. Ramah was an assembly point for captives on their way to Babylon. Rachel is seen as weeping from her tomb with the bereaved parents. What happened in Jeremiah's time was typical of what happened here, and therefore Matthew sees the fuller meaning of the Jeremiah text. How many babies were killed by Herod, we don't know. Estimates range from as few as 6 to as many as 50. Remember, Bethlehem was not a large town, and most likely the number is somewhere around 30. In secular history, Herod is well known as Herod the Great. His building projects can still be seen in Israel today. But Herod is not known as Herod the Great in the Bible. He is known as the king who murdered innocent children in his attempt to get rid of Christ. The passage in Jeremiah pointed forward to this horrible event. Notice that for this prophecy, Matthew does not give his normal phrase, "that it might be fulfilled," but just, "it was fulfilled." Prophecy was fulfilled when Herod killed the children. And doctrinal point number three, prophecy was fulfilled when Joseph moved to Nazareth. Prophecy was fulfilled when Joseph moved to Nazareth. Verse 23, "And Joseph came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Notice that Matthew says, "through the prophets," plural. The problem here is that when we look for this exact quote, "He shall be called a Nazarene," we don't find it in any of the Old Testament prophetic passages. However, this really isn't a problem because "he shall be called a Nazarene." That quote seems to refer to the idea that the person would be despised or looked down on. Remember what Nathanael said when he heard that Jesus was from Nazareth? Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You remember that? John 1:46. Nazareth was considered an unsophisticated and uncultured town, and anyone from Nazareth was despised and looked down on. Now the prophets did predict that the Lord would be despised and looked down on. I'm reading the messianic prediction of Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He," that is the coming Messiah, "he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Also from Psalm 22, verse 6, a messianic psalm. "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." Psalm 22, 6. So prophecy was fulfilled when Joseph moved to Nazareth and Jesus was called a Nazarene. What about practical application from this second half of Matthew chapter 2? Don't expect God's guidance to make your life easier. Don't expect God's guidance to make your life easier. You know, I've heard some Christians say, "Oh, if only God would guide me and let me know exactly what he wants me to do, it would make life so much easier." You ever heard that before? Not necessarily. We've seen that God guided Joseph specifically through dreams, but it didn't make his life any easier, did it? Do you think it was easy taking a mother and young child from Bethlehem to Egypt without modern transportation? Even with modern transportation, it's not a piece of cake. I've made that trip several times. Notice, by the way, that Joseph used his common sense by leaving at night. Verse 14, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." Now, the Lord provided the means for their stay in Egypt with the gifts from the wise men. And there were Jewish communities in Egypt at that time. But it was still a difficult journey and not a vacation by any stretch of the imagination. And coming back into Israel with Archelaus in power was no easy procedure either. God specifically guided them in these moves, but they were not easy moves. Do you see the obvious application for us? God will guide us. He has promised to do that. Think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, for example. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." But don't expect God's guidance to make your life easier. More joyful? Yes. More productive? Yes. More meaningful and purposeful? Yes. But not necessarily easier. You know, right now, Margie and I are looking for the Lord's guidance for our upcoming move. We know he will specifically guide us, but this does not necessarily make life any easier. Being in God's will is what really counts. Don't expect God's guidance to make your life easier.